Testing.
It's recording. Okay, so I guess Sefti and Tevim, we're back again in action versus Hashem. We're holding here in the fourth perek in Maimar Ikrim, and the name of the perek is Bagmul, which means the schar. A person is unique that he has bechira, and the ability to affect things with his maisim. So there's something else that you don't have in any other min. That he is rewarded for his ma'isim mida keneged mida. So I want to digest a little bit this sentence. On the surface of it, it's a very, very simple sentence. The only person that can do good or bad is Adam, and therefore reward only makes sense to Adam. That's the way it reasoned, but that's a very simple, doesn't make sense to punish somebody who's helped, you know, who did something against their will. It doesn't make sense to give him schar. There's a part of the sentence here that's a little bit awkward. He says, person has a bechira, v'koach lemaisov lehamshech hamshachos zechainu. He has the ability to be mamshech hamshachos, meaning he can drag the entire Bria with him. He's able to accomplish things with his Maisim because it is free-willed. And that, in turn, brings along or drags along another Nekuda, and that is the world of Gemul. So I would like to understand it a little bit deeper than just, you know, it's only one that makes sense to try to punish or to do something about. Let's think a minute about actions and so on. Whenever, imagine we have a line of 100 people, and I am the one who's standing in the back, and I shove the person in front of me. And he shoves the others. So I cannot say the person in front of me, let's call him Ruvain, really did anything. I can't say he affected anybody, because I'm the active agent. He was simply a pawn in my hands, or a cannonball in my cannon, and he is. We'd call him a yada, a richter of mine. He's an extension of me and does everything. I'm the one who's the active agent, and he's nothing. So I cannot say that his actions create or generate anything because it's my action. Even more than that, I can't, whatever happens from something mechanical, I can't say it created a new reality. I can't say it created anything. It simply rehashed which was. So let's say a computer can rehash whatever I've told it, taught it, given it, but a computer cannot really initiate anything, and therefore it can't create anything of consequence. So let's go back now. An animal wanders around in the world. An animal acts because of forces that act on it. And therefore, I cannot attribute any action to it. Anything that the animal does has been wired into the brain the minute it was born. So the animal is simply, and even if circumstance changed, so the animal is wired that if it's cold, it runs into a house or under, it burrows under something. If it's hot, it splashes the water. if somebody's threatening it, it runs away. If somebody's threatening it and it's hot, it will run away to a faraway water. All it's doing is simply fulfilling that which is already there. There's nothing made or created in any way by that animal. That is animals. So therefore, the world of Gemul, schar means, and this is, I think, the knach that he's saying, is requires that my actions can generate something new. So I've come in, I said, you know what? I will build you a house here, and that requires you to reimburse me for the house that I'm building for you. So anytime something new has happened, something else is coming in and sort of is being created. The world of schar is a world that I create new nekudas. Akash Baruch Hu made it that I have the ability to create things, and that's the world of schar. It's to bring new things into the world that were not planned. So just like the Koach HaBechira allows a person to do new activities, things that were not predetermined, they were not in the cards, and I initiate this action, the same way the schar is something which is initiated by my act and comes into this world. Now, so schar is sort of a natural outcome of a person, what a person is, and what a person does. That's the Chiddush that he's saying over here. V'agmula zeh shnei chalakim, and this schar happens in two places. Volum haza, volum haba. The word gemul, I mean, like we said before, the Ramchal uses his words very, very carefully, very cautiously. The word gemul really means a payback. It's sort of giving back in a sense. The person's maisim are a sort of the gemul is sort of a giving back, and therefore it happens in two places: olam hazeh and olam haba. Olam hazeh is not a world of schar; it's not a world of intended schar, but the gemul does really it does really make sense this world as well. Now, gemul olam haba hu shekefi meiser shas olam hazeh keiti kavale madrega b'teva mitis. As what the person in this world, that's the type madrega who get b'teva mitis shehu advekus by yizbarach, which is the Dveikas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'yahana b'netzach tzachim, and this is a nitzchiyastika type of enjoyment. Let's stop and talk about this point. First of all, there's a little bit of an unclarity in the following point. When a person does... Nefesh HaChayim speaks very strongly about this in the first parak, that when a person does Ma'isim Tovim, it's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu later goes ahead and gives schar. It's not the pshat, okay, it's like, I guess the best mashal would be like a carnival. I do meaningless acts, I knock down dolls, and I sponge the council, whatever else you do in those carnivals, and then I get these little tickets, and I trade them in for a prize. That's the Nefesh HaChayim is very, very adamant that that's not the mahalach of schar v'onesh. Schar v'onesh means a person builds the world that he is becomes his. So if when I built the house, I was schlocky, and the house sort of has holes, it's not insulated well, I will be cold. It's not my punishment for not building it correctly. It is the not building correctly. If I build the house very well and to code and with everything with quality materials, then it's a very good house, it's not a schar, so to speak, you know, for having done a job by code, but rather it's a metzias. That's the way Nefesh Chaim speaks about it. On the other hand, it sounds as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu has almost no role in this, and it's almost automatic, and that's also problematic. He says over here, "Shekifimaisav sheasav b'olam hazeh, based on the ma'isim he did, he will get that type of madrega there." So it's a little bit not clear which of these approaches, but what he does say is, it's the dveikus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it eternally will be his. So, I think the point about being eternal bliss is something which sounds kind of the right thing to promise. It's sort of like, you know, we say it's lifetime guaranteed. It's something which I'll, you know, whenever you want it, you can take it. So that's sort of a quantity that's fantastic. 10 years is good, 100 years is fantastic, eternity is extraordinarily fantastic. All it is just a greater measure and time. That's one way of looking at it. But I think it means much more. I have a bit of a ride for the Rambam, but let me tell you what I think it means. Any situation that's not eternal means that it's not something essential. For instance, a plant must, by the definition of a plant, let's say they must have chlorophyll, and their food must be photosynthesis, gotten through photosynthesis. If that's how I classify, is not going to be able to, I can't call that a plant. Something that has chlorophyll sometimes, sometimes not, it's not a plant. Whenever I want to define a quality that is atzmius, I say it's inseparable. So, lamashal, water, the wetness of water is inseparable from the water. The day my bottle of water is dry, it's not water anymore. But the dark color of Coca-Cola, I mean, I've left Coke around for a long time. Let's just assume it would, you know, would leave. I don't know, whatever. I could still call it Coca-Cola, unless the black color is something else that are hard of being Coca-Cola. And if it's light, then it's Chas V'Shalom 7-Up or something. It's not Coca-Cola. But anytime the definition of something essential, meaning, you know, going to the essence of it, is something that is a permanent fixture. If it's not a permanent fixture, then it's not essential. It doesn't go to the heart of it. It's not an essence, and therefore, it's just you know, it could not be. Any type of schar, and no matter how wonderful it is, if it doesn't last forever, is not dveikus. Dveikus means you become one with Hashem. That means it's something which is a I become part of that metzias, whatever kaviyachol, whatever it could be. That's not possible that it be temporary. If it's temporary, it's not dveikus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's nothing that's dovek in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is ephemeral or temporary in any way whatsoever. So dveikus in Hashem, and by definition, dveikus means becoming part and parcel of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, becoming part of that world that's mitukin. That has to last forever. The Rambam, when he speaks about what Olam Haba is, the Rambam is in Struva actually, the Rambam defines it about being an eternal good. The eternal of it, part of it, is very important to the Rambam. It has to be something that's eternal and it's good, because eternal defines an essential situation, versus something which is temporary. Olam Hazeh is an Alma de Shikra. It's not a real world. And our existence in this world is not real. Because even if we live to be 120, that 120 is over. And then we're not here. Only whatever Metzius Olam Haba is possible for it to be Olam Ha'emes, because it has eternal existence. So he writes here, the Dveikas and Kadosh Baruch Hu and Yehonah Ben Letzach Tzachim, they're really two sides of the same coin. V'gam hu yechol sei chalokim, v'olam ha'neshamas v'olam ha'tchiyah. There are two worlds for this tzchar. This olam ha'neshamah means neshamas that are not, you know, that after you die, your neshamah goes olam ha'neshamas, and it waits around for Mashiach. And in the Olam of Tchia, Yivar'i Lefana Mitzad Shmaya. Gmul Ha'olam Hazahu. What is the Gmul in this world? Shekefi Maisa Vigazav Atzloch Oitzores Mezimin Sheyir. That in this world, we get either Atzloch or Tzores. What's the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu splits Sechar and Oynish over two worlds? Why can't there be one world and so on? In other words, why does he say there's Sechar in this world and Sechar in Olam HaNeshamas? And also in Yemes HaMashiach. So he says like this, V'tzor she'teida she'ika Sechar be'emes v'atoyves ha'mitis she'tzeinas lovo. The real schar and einish is lost in love. Either getting a lot of schar or disintegrating. Let's stop a second at this and just point this out. Losing that toiv permanently is the worst possible einish. The Rambam in the Sefer actually learns there's only one real onesh, and that's karis. Everything else is a variation of karis. Karis means you're cut off from this permanence, you're not done from Ziva Shechina, and everything else is just all the other punishments that are described are variations in a sense of it. Even though to us they sound a lot more horrible, but at the end of the day, that's all it is. Omno, yesh mitzvah shekvi midas adina tzedekes. So he says over here there are certain mitzvahs, and this is what we list: El Dvarim Shel Nashir, El Dvarim Shel Adam Peres Amel Mazeh, VaKer Keres Olam Haba. So we identify mitzvahs that the schar is for Olam Haba, and for some of them there's also in this world as well. So, I mean, what it means is, it's not a question of how much schar to give a person. It's a question of how much schar to give a person. Say, okay, this person it could get part over here, part over there. But what's the difference? You know, what my nafkamina. The answer is, like it says, the El Devar Shalom Pesa El Mazer Kerker Shalom Haba, and there's reason given for it. So it means there's something about the nature of the mitzvah you did that deserves to have this type of treatment. That we give the person the main reward there and something here. The Maral explains all those mitzvahs, and he says the reasons are because those mitzvahs contain elements of this world and the world to come. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a dayan emes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't just give reward and punishment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives out the reward that's appropriate, the punishment that's appropriate. Some averus, it's appropriate to punish in this world and the world to come, and some mitzvahs, It's appropriate, and the reason usually is because the mitzvah avera actually the there's a chelak of this mitzvah that expresses itself very strongly in this world. So the schar v'onish, or the gemule says it, fits it. And a mitzvah that straddles both worlds, the one who does it, the one who's active in it, it's midas hadin that he has schar both in this world and the world to come. So it has a lot to do with the nature of each particular mitzvah that a person did. The Rambam says this, Legabi, that it says sometimes a Kadosh Baruch Hu takes away tshuva from people, that they can't do any more tshuva. So the Rambam says it means that it's the person deserved to have that taken away from him. It's whatever the person did or said caused that to happen. So Lemaisa, the types of mitzvahs and averis that generate the dual response of Olam Haz and Olam Haba have a lot to do with dashpa. This is only Kadosh Baruch Hu could judge. Behine, kemoisha gufa nefesh biyachat oisim amaisin, bein atoim ben aroim, kena gmul tzor shigrom lo yachat. So the Ramchal here is posing a question that he's going to answer for many in Yanim. His question is, where do we get this idea of having dual schar? And the answer is because a person's mitzias is a duality. We're a guf and we're a neshama. And therefore, it's appropriate that if good was done, they both share the good. Each one has its own chelik of the person that's most pronounced. So the Ramchal uses the same svara on why you have tchias hameisim, because in the Rashi says it, because in tchias hameisim, the person himself was a guf and a neshama. We're not a neshama. We're a guf with a neshama, and hopefully aligned in a way that brings out everything positive. But we're a guf and a neshama. It can't be a tchias hameisim will return as a guf without the neshama, and therefore that's going to have to happen. Tchias hameisim will happen because of it. Here he's saying, just like the person who did the maisa is the guf together with neshama, that's the bria of Adam that could do maisim, so too here also. And therefore tchias hameisim exists because the guf Adam is part of the shleimus of the Adam. Let's go. There's a famous chazal that in Yom HaDin, the balei, I don't know what to call it, if the guf and neshama want to free themselves from punishment, they have a very, very nice argument. The guf says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Shalom, ever since I died, I'm laying like a dead carcass in Beis HaKvaris. I can't harm anybody. I can't do anything wrong. So I wasn't the one that did anything. You see, I have no ability to do anything. I wouldn't dream of doing a virus. So Chazal say a mashal. There was somebody who had a king had a beautiful vineyard, he had a problem, had to hire watchmen over it. Because the fruit there would be so tempting, each and every watchman would want to take for himself. So you hired two watchmen. One was blind, one was lame. And he figured this one can't see what's around in the garden. This one can't smell. This one can't get to it. So I have a win-win situation. The blind one doesn't know the goodies exist. The lame one can't get to it, and that's fine. As soon as the king left for his royal vacation, so the seeing person, watchman, called over the other watch and said, "Listen, there's this beautiful fruit over here that I can't get to it. You can get. Let's partner up. I'm lame. I will sit on top of your shoulders, but I see. I will direct you to to that, and you'll take what you want, and so on." So the king comes back, and he's astounded. I mean, he's missing his stuff. So he asks the blind guy, he asked the lame one, "Did you take it?" He said, "How can I get to it? I'm lame." He asked the blind guy, "Did you take the fruit?" He said, "What fruit?" So, everybody's kind of standing aside. So what did the king do? He piggybacked one on top of the other, and then there was. And now we had the culprit in front of him. He had so too. When Akash Baruch Hu will judge us, the goof will say, "I mean, ever since I died, I've been laying in a cave and doing nothing. Can't be me." The Neshama will say, "Ever since you died, I went up to Shemayim and I'm a very, very holy, holy person." So Akash Baruch Hu will put one on top of the other, put the goof and Neshama on top of the goof. That's how we'll judge them together. So here also, he says. Because the guf and the nefesh together do the ma'isim, the gemul has to be with both of them. It's not a question of, more gemul, less gemul. The tzura of the reward has to be chal on the guf as well. Omnam bechetor shal rishon nigzal min rishon kol ha'misa ba'yishuv la'igdal to have mitzvah with the shares. But once at the chet, Adam was it was nigzal Adam. Misa and Bemele, he cannot, he can't straight out be Seichet Tetveikas and so on, that he can't do. But there's a lot, there's some important points about it, so we'll hold it over here. Any questions, anything? Okay, so we're holding here in Dalit. In two paragraphs before the end. Okay, good night.
Thank you, Rabbi. Good night.
Good night, Pinchas. Stop recording, yeah?
Yeah.